Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
French President Emmanuel Macron capped off the first official state visit of the Trump administration with an address this morning to both houses of Congress. Macron joked about how many kisses he and President Trump exchanged in public events this week, but then he took issue with much of the Trump go-it-alone world agenda, speaking most passionately about climate change, about which Trump is skeptical.
By polluting the oceans, not mitigating CO2 emissions, and destroying our biodiversity, we are killing our planet. Let us face it, there is no planet B.
Macron and First Ladies Brigitte and Melania Trump brought a dollop of excitement to Washington with an elegant state dinner last night. But elsewhere in the political netherworld, it's not so pretty. White House physician Dr. Ronny Jackson, President Trump's pick to be Veterans Affairs Director, accused of drinking and mistreating staff. EPA Administrator Scott Pruitt under fire for spending and cozying with lobbyists. Let's bring in our political strategist. What would they advise? Joining us this week, Karine Jean-Pierre, the Democrat who worked in the Obama White House. Hi, Karine.
Hi.
Paris Dennard, the Republican who worked in the George W. Bush White House and is on a White House advisory commission. Paris, welcome as well.
Hello.
And the Republican head of the committee considering Ronny Jackson's nomination, Johnny Isaacson, reportedly expressed concern about Jackson. On ATC here on NPR yesterday, Montana Senator John Tester, the ranking Democrat of the Veterans Affairs Committee, went into detail. Let's listen.
Improper dispensing of prescription drugs. Repeatedly drunk while on duty, while traveling, and creating a toxic work environment.
Now, Jackson's denying all of this, but Paris, we're going to start with you. Republicans are worried. Maine Senator Susan Collins said the White House is feeling its way on the nomination process, doesn't do vetting. South Dakota Senator John Thune saying the same thing. Trump is blaming problems with nominees on Democrats. But yesterday he seemed to give Jackson an out, you know, kind of don't do it. Today's double down. Would you advise him to let this nomination go? These accusations are bad.
You know, I appreciate the question. And no, I would advise President Trump to stand firm on his nomination, because what this articulates, or what this highlights, I should say, is the way we have become in the political environment that we're in. It is funny how Dr. Jackson was a celebrated admiral, celebrated in his role as physician, one of the closest people to the president, the ability to keep the president alive, the ability to actually, you know, harm the president if they're not up to par. And he did that faithfully in a great way for President Obama. He comes to being President Trump's doctor, gives a glowing report about the president's mental health and his physical health, much to the dismay of a lot of people on the left. And then the president nominates him to be the head of the VA and then open the floodgates. Now we have a problem with him. Now he can't be trusted. Now all of these issues that should have been raised in the Obama administration. But if they were raised, they were passed aside as not being credible or not being factual or not being worth noticing. So I think it's part of the political nature
that
we're in.
Let me ask Karine. Karine, are Democrats at some fault here, maybe hypocritical and critical and criticizing him now, but everybody, you know, kind of liked him before?
No, I think that's so ridiculous. The first thing is that President Obama did not nominate his personal doctor to be the head of Veterans Affairs, which is the second largest agency behind the Department of Defense. It has a $200 billion budget, has hundreds of thousands of people that he would have to manage. He's just not qualified. Put aside all of this awful allegations that we're hearing. This guy is just not qualified. He should have never been put forth for this job. And you know what? It's weird. I mean, Donald Trump needs to do his job. His administration needs to do their job. I vet my dog walker better than Trump administration vets their nominees to run our government. And this is somebody, Donald Trump, is somebody who promised the best. Instead, we have the most corrupt and unqualified cabinet in history. It's not just Jackson. There's a whole list of people in the Trump administration that is incredibly questionable with ethics and with qualification. And I just don't understand what's going on.
Well, moving on to some of the other folks in the administration who are having some trouble. On NPR's Morning Edition today, White House spokesman Hogan Gidley was asked if President Trump still wants EPA Administrator Scott Pruitt to stay on the job, despite a whole bunch of questions, including that Pruitt sought special treatment for himself and is too close to oil and gas lobbyists, and spokesman Gidley didn't give a full-blown endorsement.
I can tell you that the president and the White House are aware of these issues and these stories. They raise some serious concerns. There's no question about that. We're looking into those issues and concerns as well. And the EPA, quite frankly, and Mr. Pruitt are going to have to answer those questions in short order.
Paris, it seems even Pruitt's Republican supporters may have had enough. What are you hearing?
A lot of people are concerned about the constant drip, drip, drip of the allegations and the former people that worked for him coming out and saying this and that, and you have to question why that they're doing it now and all that things. But at the end of the day, Hogan's right. You have to put this back on the EPA administrator, and he's going to have to answer all of those questions if the Congress has them or if the president has them. But ultimately, the president deserves – any president, every president deserves to have the cabinet that he wants. So if the president wants to have those persons in there, they should be allowed to put together the government that they want. It's called the consequences of every election. That goes as well for the Supreme Court nominees. And so what you have here is the president still having faith in Pruitt's ability to lead the agency and to carry out the mission and the agenda and the viewpoint of how EPA should be run under the Trump administration. And in President Trump's mind, and a lot of Republicans' minds, he's doing a good job at that.
Corrine, to you, does this underscore wider problems?
Yes, it absolutely does. Look, I'll agree with Paris. Every president should have the cabinet secretaries that they want, the cabinet that they want to represent their platform and what they want to move forward. The problem is Donald Trump and his administration, his White House, are not vetting folks. They're not putting people forth that are actually qualified to do the job. If anything, the people that they put forth are do the opposite. They're known for having the opposite ideas of what the agency stands for. Look, in no other administration, Democrat or Republican, the Bush, the Clinton, the Obama administration, would Pruitt still have a job? He has abused his power and our money in every way imaginable, in ways that are truly unimaginable.
Well, but
it's just a long time that he needs to go.
But as Paris said, he's also rolled back tons of regulations. I mean, they want him there. But I want to move on to something else, because there was a remarkable moment Monday night when Senate Foreign Relations Committee Chair Bob Corker of Tennessee got emotional, cried, because the Democrat, Chris Coons of Delaware, voted president instead of no on the nomination for Mike Pompeo to be Secretary of State to help a Republican colleague to vote after getting back from a funeral. Here's Corker responding to that.
I in particular want to thank Senator Coons for displaying the statesmanship that I've been accustomed to seeing in the Senate.
You know, Corrine, what a moment. And it got me thinking, we never see Democrats because there's so much news around the Republicans right now. Mm-hmm. Maybe this is a way for them to sort of, you know, have some face time in Washington, do unexpected nice things. I mean, this is unbelievable that a civil moment in Washington is making headlines. We have so few of them.
Right, because we're so we're just so partisan on each side, and this is kind of the political atmosphere that we're living in. Look, I know Senator Chris Coons, and he's a good guy. It actually is not surprising that he did that to me. He is a statesman, as Corker has mentioned, and it's nice to see. I do not agree with Pompeo's nomination or anything that Pompeo stands for, but I'm glad that Chris Coons was able to do something that shows that there can be some niceness, you know, some bipartisanship on the Hill.
Well, let's look at Macron and Trump. Before Congress today, French President Emmanuel Macron urged Trump not to withdraw from the international agreement reining in Iran's nuclear program. Big debate over that. Passionately defended multilateralism instead of isolationism. And he criticized those who fan fear and anger.
You can play with fears and angers for a time, but they do not construct anything.
Corrine, what do you think? Was this a mistake to sort of switch in tone from bromance of last night and yesterday to this thinly veiled criticism of the president?
No. I mean, I think Macron is there to, he has his people too to worry about. He has to go home and to deal with the folks that are there. So it's not surprising. I think he's playing this very, very well. He's he clearly took the a master's course in how to manage Donald Trump, and he's done, I think, a magnificent job on
the Trump whisperer.
He's Trump whisperer, right? And he's been doing that for a year. It's not at all new. He's been doing that for several months and trying to, you know, speak to Trump in a way that Trump listens and hears, which is speaking, you know, tapping into Trump's insecurities. Mm. And so it's not at all surprising.
Well,
and then you'll have Merkel, who's going to be coming in a day or two.
Paris, yeah, only a minute. Jump in. Yeah.
Sure. I think this was a tremendous week for the president, for the first lady. I think what you saw with the relationship between President Macron and President Trump, we haven't seen since Reagan and Thatcher. And I think the good thing about this is that it's good for the American people and the world to see world leaders coming together and wanting to work together to solve some of the tough problems and tough issues of this nation. So I think the president and the administration should be feeling really good about international affairs and politically. Look, Arizona 8 was a big win last night for Republicans, and we won six out of seven competitive special
elections. You said
elections.
It's a big win.
A win is a win.
By 5 points.
A win, and it's a win.
It's an election. Republicans should have won by double digits.
And
they should have won by 25 points.
Oh, we didn't even get to talk about Melania's hat or the dandruff on the shoulder. Paris Denard, the Republican strategist, Queen Jean-Pierre, the Democrat. Thank you both so much.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.